Drive into summer savings at Burt Brothers Tire and Service with unbeatable discounts on complete car care services like free alignment checks, $20 off any Valvoline oil change, $20 AC checks, and $25 off any service over $250. Burt Brothers Tire and Service.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, welcome into another edition of Cougar Nation. BYU Cougars, one of four new teams in the Big 12. First of those four to notch a win in conference play as they defeated the Cincinnati Bearcats 35-27. We're going to be breaking that game down. Helmet stickers, what's trending, and we're taking your calls. We want to hear who you guys think has been the best player on this team through the first five games of the year. We'll take your calls throughout this entire hour of Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. It feels like that game was a while ago, but we're still going to break it down, Mitch.
It was an important win for BYU. We got to start things off with our takeaways from that game.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Again, start loading up those phone calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us, text BYU to 57500. Takeaway number one, Matt, from BYU's 35-27 win over Cincinnati. As you kind of pointed out, it's the first Big 12 win. It's the first time BYU gets a conference win since 2010. You got to go back 13 years to when BYU beat New Mexico. A little bit different level of play when you're in the Big 12 conference. BYU takes down a fellow newcomer in Cincinnati. And, you know, I think you don't want to make too much of all these firsts that have been happening, but in the moment, celebrate it because, you know, it's such a grind with getting to this moment. It took 2 years, the ramp up, and all the decades before to be in a league like this. So when it does come and you get those successes, you got to celebrate.
Absolutely. And it's important, too, that because you're in a conference again, the wins and the losses feel differently. Like, don't you feel differently today about 4-1 than you did about 4-1 in any independent year? Because you look, you're 1-1 in conference play. You look ahead, TCU's the next game. That got a kick time, by the way. That'll be 1:30 Mountain Time on October 14th. You look at that game, they just dropped into West Virginia. You look at that and you say, could you beat TCU? You move to 2-1. I mean, you could go pie in the sky. We're not going to because there's a lot of conference play left, but that's what's kind of fun about these wins. And it's not fun to lose, but like you can keep that in perspective. You lose to Kansas. It's only one game. You bounce back against Cincinnati, which they did, and you feel a lot differently going forward. So it was a historic night on many levels.
Last year, by comparison, they were 4-1, and no one felt good about the team because they had just barely beat Wyoming, barely beat Utah State. Yeah, they were nationally ranked, but no one felt good about it. But this time, you know, you're 4-1, BYU, and I don't think at any point they've come close to playing a perfect game. I don't think they're anywhere close to being a finalized, you know, their best version of themselves. And I think that's promising. And, you know, you wanted to get that win over the newcomer. You didn't want to allow one of those fellow newbies to get the upper hand on you. And I think that's something to be said, that you did take down a team that, you know, maybe that experience you had as an independent playing so many more Power Fives did get you better equipped for the week-in, week-out grind that's in the Big 12. All the other newcomers, they're winless so far, all 0-2 through the first 2 weeks of league play. So I think that, you know, BYU is definitely benefiting from being in a league. And I think the intensity, the excitement it from Cougar Nation inside Lavelle Edwards Stadium for that game was palpable as well. It was the biggest crowd since 2009. I was stunned by that, Matt. I didn't realize that there was not a crowd to that degree, that level of numbers in the seats at LES since 09 against Utah. Not any point during independence did they have standing room only crowd. I thought that was pretty neat to hear that sort of number, 63,000 plus packed into Lavelle Edwards Stadium to witness BYU get its first Big 12 win. So the fans, they're all in on this team. And I think that you just hope now they just keep getting better from here as they now head into the bye week.
Before we get to our next takeaway, you can call in 801-575-8255. What are your takeaways, Cougar Nation? You can chime in. And also, who has been the best player on this BYU football team through the first five games? We want to hear your thoughts on those things. Another takeaway from the game that I noticed, Mitch, was defensively, they've come a long way, and I think the group that is leading the charge right now is that linebacker group. Just impressive numbers. You look across the board, 16 tackles for Max Tooley, outstanding. A.J. Vongpachon, who quietly is having another outstanding season. Because, look, we were getting a lot of publicity and notoriety to Ben Bywater, and rightfully so, but A.J. Vongpachon has been just as good. And then Harrison Taggart, who fills in for Ben Bywater, 10 tackles. Like, I don't remember any missed tackles from that group. They were flying all over the place. This is the best group on the defense, and they're doing an outstanding job. And there's depth, too, right? So that linebacking group is really, really talented.
That level of production that you just noted from those linebackers against Cincinnati, to me, it gives you the luxury, if you're Jay Hill and this defensive staff, Justin Enna, to where you can be a little more patient with Ben Bywater. You know, ideally, you want Ben back as soon as possible with that right shoulder injury. But understand, Ben was dealing with a shoulder injury last spring. You want to be delicate with that. You don't want to hurt, his chances, because he's got pro aspirations. You don't want to rush him back prematurely.
Got some Senior Bowl praise.
Right. And I think that you, knowing that Harrison Taggart stepped in, and I know that Cincinnati is not one of the better offenses in the Big 12, but still, he stepped in and showed you 10 tackles. First college career start. He's one of the best athletes on the team, and even A.J. Vongpachon today says he's one of the hardest workers on the team. So he kind of plugged in, fit in nicely. You still want Ben back, but I'm with you. I think this linebacker unit is really good, and the depth you noted. You add Ciali Acera, who was a heralded freshman. He came back from an injury. Ammon Hanneman, Isaiah Glasker's coming back for the TCU game. BYU's got options there, and that top three, though, even without Bywater, is really good. It's one of the better linebacker units in the Big 12 Conference. And I think Vongpachon might lead the way. He's outstanding. He's been just a plug-and-play, instant impact guy. He's lived up to all the accolades and hype that he got when he committed to BYU last April.
Yeah, and I love to see AJ in particular have the type of year he's having. Knock on wood, he stays healthy, Mitch, because that's the type of portal dude that I think BYU can get repeatedly into the future. A guy at a lower level who wants to come up and produce and show what he can do. He's doing everything he did at Utah State. He's showing right here on a Power 5 stage. It's pretty sweet.
Takeaway number three from BYU's 35-27 win over Cincinnati. The run game, still struggling a little bit, but the offensive line got better, Matt. It wasn't a groundbreaking breakthrough on the ground. It was only 70 rush yards, but it felt like there was some moments that make you go, okay, they can build on this, because Cincinnati does have one of the better defensive lines in the Big 12 Conference. I thought they were very good in stretches. So credit the BYU offensive line that had some second unit guys with Waylon Lopuaho out. I think that they got better on a week where they were kind of taken to task and everyone was saying, what are you going to do to respond after a lackluster performance at Kansas?
We're taking your calls, and we got our first one of the night here on Cougar Nation. Let's go out to Bangor Freeway, where Papa Pete is calling in. Papa Pete, what do you got for us, brother?
Dude, I got, actually, it was going to be two, but I'm going to give you the top three players. And that means, to be clear, if you're injured and you've lost a game, you're not in my list. So, surprisingly, Rico is my number one player.
Not
bad. The guy has been stones the entire season. I expect him to continue to do that. Number two is going to be Slovis, getting better every week. And then Chase Roberts. What a pleasant surprise. I knew he was good. I tell you what, those three guys. I have, of course, Bywater on there, but, of course, we lost him last week. I'm hopeful that he'll be back coming week. As a unit, no question defense. But those are my top three players.
I love that, Papa Pete, and thanks for the call. And, look, Chase Roberts, I don't know if you listen to Cougar Sports Saturday, which we do nearly every Saturday throughout the – we were off last Saturday. It was kind of nice, but – for 50 weeks of the year, we're doing Cougar Sports Saturday, 12-3. We were high on Chase Roberts all year, and he's proven us to be right. He's been great.
Well, and I think also when, you know, Cody Epps went into the portal for those 48 hours, it was a moment where he had to regain his his, you know, place on the team and his trust from his teammates. Whereas Chase Roberts has stayed with this group. He could have went in the portal. Yep. Chase Roberts is the type of guy that he entered the portal, he would have had Power 5 interest. He's a good athlete. I think it was great for him to have that great catch from Keaton Slovis. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but he's got great speed too. Chase Roberts is a heck of a player. And Rico, I'm glad Papa Pete mentioned him because he has been a field flipper for BYU. You're talking about the average field distance starting position for BYU. They're plus 13 in terms of average, you know, starting field position. BYU is winning that battle. Some of that's because of, you know, takeaways. Some of it is, say, causing turnovers with the defense or special teams. But I love what Rico has done. He's an NFL leg. I don't know if he's going to get drafted. But I think he's going to be
He'll be in a camp for sure.
Absolutely. He's. You think about some of the great BYU punters of all time. You know, you think about Lee Johnson from 84, you know, Alan Boardman in the 90s.
Oh, Rico's better than him.
But you've had some – BYU, he's up there. He might be next to Lee Johnson,
I think he is next to Thunderfoot.
I think we might have to have that. We see Lee Johnson around. Maybe we have to have him go barefoot again, and maybe Rico can maybe he can settle it sometime. There's some kickoff or something. Maybe we need that.
I thought it was interesting too in the offseason when Kelly Papinga told us that he's the best punter he's ever had. Kelly Papinga, he's not some young graduate assistant anymore. He's coached at Boise, at Virginia, at BYU. Like, he's been in the game for a minute. He thinks he's the best punter he's ever coached. I think that speaks volumes. Let's go back to the phone line for one more quick call. Tim from Provo, who are some of your top players this season, Tim?
Hey, what's up? Chase Roberts on offense, for sure. He's, like, led us in three of our five games, and Keaton Slovis has gotten better every week, obviously. And defense, Jacob Robinson.
Good call.
Would have been nice to have that pick against Arkansas, but Eddie Heckard, too, just our whole secondary, haven't given up more than 300 yards this passing this season. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for the call, Tim. I think that, you know, those are great picks because this BYU team, it's nice that they have some actual star power. Yeah. I think coming into the year, you wondered, you know, who are the key guys? They got a nice collection of talent. But who are going to be the stars that emerge? I think that foursome of guys that Tim just mentioned, I think that that's a group that is going to lead the charge for BYU in the back half of the schedule. If they want to find a way to get into that, you know, top four, top five of the Big 12, those have got to be some of the key contributors every single week. We got to take a break, though. Keep the phone lines coming. 801-575-8255.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
No time to waste. We're taking your calls here in Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. In Cougar Nation, it's brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Let's go out to the phone line. Take another call. We want to know who your favorite's the wrong term. Who have been the best players on this BYU football team through the first five games? Michael, coming from the state of Texas, what do you got for us, Michael?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple things. I think first, something I never thought I would say, is I think BYU has the best corners in the state of Utah this year, which is kind of shocking to me.
Good point.
So I think those are two of the top ones, but what I really wanted to call about is really eat crow to my BYU friends. I was so down when we signed Keaton Slovis out of the portal. This team might be a three-win team without Keaton Slovis. The things that this guy is doing this year with no run game, an offensive line that is up and down, definitely not close to the skill talent that we've had in past years with like Zach and Jaron. And just, I've been to multiple games in person. His mechanics in the pocket, this is an NFL quarterback. It's unbelievable how under the radar he is flying. I think he's a top three quarterback in the Big 12. I really do. And to think of what he's doing and how good he's making this offense look with a lot of new faces. He doesn't even have his probably second best receiver, hasn't played all year. I don't think we could say enough about Keaton Slovis. I really don't. I'm here to eat crow I'm very impressed. So that's all I'd like to say.
Hey, Michael, great call. Because you know what? I think a lot of people shared a similar thought with like you when it came to Slovis. I mean, even when I saw him officially commit to BYU last Christmas Eve, I thought, is this going to work?
Right.
Because this seemed like a broken man, and he has been outstanding. I think, to your point, Michael, I think BYU is probably a 1-4 team at this point. Yeah. With if they didn't,
I
have
don't see three
Slovis.
Wins without Slovis.
No, I think absolutely. And you know what? When he said on the air, third best Big 12 quarterback, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, Quinn Ewers one, Dylan Gabriel Oklahoma two, Will Howard K State. No, he's kind of banged up. Chandler Morris TCU.
No,
no. Maybe it is Keaton Slovis. Maybe yeah. he is. I think also Keaton has done enough to say he's at least a late day three yeah. draft pick, right?
Totally.
I think you take a flyer on him.
I love that call, too. That's one of the best calls we've had on Cougar Nation because I still get fans who are like, ah, Keaton, I don't know. And I'm like, are you serious? This dude is carrying the offense. There's no run game,
well,
Mitch.
There has, even in the Cincinnati game, though, there were some throws. Even that 59-yard bomb to Roberts probably could have been picked. There was that one near the sideline. It's going to happen, though. When you're slinging the rock, I mean, it was only 24 times against Cincinnati, 51 times against Kansas.
Well, they barely had the ball in the first half.
Right. But, I mean, there's some decisions where it's like you got to clean that up, and hopefully coming into the bye and coming out of it, you know, those sort of things get shored up. But, man, I think he's taken on the baton from Zach and Jaron where you take care of the football, you're not throwing many picks, it's putting you in a spot to where you're winning ball games. BYU's not winning pretty right now.
And he's making explosive plays, yeah. too. That's the thing. That's really overcome the bad run game, is that there's so many chunk plays in the passing game. I almost thought about giving him a helmet sticker, Mitch, but I had to go another direction. Let's give out our helmet stickers for the performance against the Bearcats of Cincinnati.
Jacob
I don't
Robinson.
Think we're the time team that can just go and pose our.
Sorry, Mitch.
Jacob Robinson for me is my pick. He had that pick six. You got to give Jacob Robinson to become a lockdown corner for.
Yeah, for me defensively, Max Tooley talked about the 16 tackles. He balled out, and that was the game too where I remembered the commentary from RG3 against Baylor last year, where he was like, "Oh, this dude's an NFL guy." It's a game like Tooley had against the Bearcats where you see that NFL potential.
Austin Riggs, long snapper. Never thought I'd say his name on this show. He gets a helmet sticker. Fumble recovery on the muff punt.
Did you like the celebration at the end, too?
Loved it.
Little remember the Titans.
A long snapper being discussed in a positive light. That's what's amazing.
Chase Roberts gets my other helmet sticker, Mitch. I just think Chase, week after week, continues to establish himself as the number one wide receiver target. He's got six grabs, 131 yards, a TD, nine targets. He's just... The thing that I also love, too, it kind of stuck out to me in the Cincinnati game. He can do it all. Intermediate, deep, he can run after the catch. The whole route tree is at his disposal. He's a multi-tool wide receiver, and he's well on his way to having a chance to play in the NFL.
That's your helmet stickers for the week. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Still taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255. News, traffic, and weather. And then we'll get to what's trending up and trending down with BYU football.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, we're breaking down the win over Cincinnati, and we're taking your calls. We've had some good calls today, too. And we got 30 minutes left in the show. So if you want to chime in on the win over the Bearcats or who are the best players for BYU football up until this point, you can call us at 801-575-8255. That's 801-575-TALK. Right now, Mitch, let's get into what's trending for BYU football. Let's do it.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this football season?
I'll start things off, Mitch. Trending up, Miles Davis. When he came onto the field, I think I was like a lot of Cougar fans. You were like, what?
You were like, consider me Miles Davis.
What Adam Sandler movie is that?
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison, you're right. Consider me Miles Davis. That's a good
poll. Oh!
That's a good pull from our childhood.
Yep.
It was shocking to see him because he has gotten no. Was he even on the depth chart?
No, he wasn't even on the travel roster for Arkansas. And then he emerges, and
he looked explosive.
And you're thinking, why was this guy left for dead? Why was this guy left to not be in the mix?
It doesn't make any sense. 4 carries, 17 yards, 11 yards was his longest run. And LJ has done a really nice job. Let's all remember, he is a true freshman.
Yeah.
You know, we can't expect him to be 1,500-yard Tyler Allgeier. He's done a nice job considering he's a true freshman. Miles Davis, though, had another step that I don't know that LJ has. And so if you can compliment Miles, LJ, down the road, maybe get Aiden Robbins back. Like, I thought it was awesome bringing him in, and it was a nice change of pace.
While Aiden Robbins is injured, and hopefully they can get him back for TCU, but while he's injured, you need a second running back that can tote the rock. You know, Deion Smith's more of a receiver out of the backfield. He's kind of like that little Pini Katoa role.
Yep.
That's where he's best served in this offense. But I think as far as running the football between the tackles, it's LJ Martin. I think it's got to be Miles Davis as your number two option. It was great to see them turn to him, and I like that Kalani was also very high on Miles Davis. This was Kalani on Friday after the win over Cincinnati on Miles Davis.
I was so proud of Miles Davis. Fighting through adversity, and he kind of got lost in the shuffle and in the competition and had opportunities, and I never saw him let down at all. And throughout the whole season, he was always working, always upbeat, always positive, and then had his opportunities, and I think he's going to be a mainstay for us. He's bigger, stronger than he was in the past, and I think he's taking advantage of his opportunities.
Miles is in his fourth year in the program, and you know he's given you flashes last year against Wyoming and in his freshman season. He's dealt with injuries, but multiple fall camps during his career, 2021, 2022, he was kind of like a fall camp standout.
Yep.
So the talent is there. He's shown the coaches he can perform. It just seemed like it was the case of, well, Aiden Robbins is here, Deion Smith's here, LJ Martin's here. Sorry, Miles, it's not going to work out. But
yep.
Again, it's a lesson, too, to anyone out there on these teams. Just stay the course because injuries happen, adversity hits. Be ready for your moment. And even though it was only 17 yards, it felt like it was an impactful 17 yards. Here's my trending up. Keaton Slovis, we talked about him a lot. I just think, again, the impact he's had both on the field and off. I feel like when players talk about his leadership, I don't think they're just giving us some cliche speak. I think they really bought into him. And I think that he's kind of got this kind of cool guy aura about him where everyone just seems to be drawn to him. They like him. And he likes being at BYU. He loves it here. And I think it's just worked out so nicely. And I hope the story continues to evolve for Slovis where he becomes an NFL draft pick. And how great would that be for BYU? 3 consecutive starters at quarterback getting drafted potentially. That hasn't happened since the late 70s. When you're talking about like Mark Wilson, Jim McMahon, Steve Young, it hasn't happened since then. So that would be quite the accomplishment. And I think Slovis is well on his way.
And more importantly, he's making plays on the field too. Like I love all the leadership stuff too. It's great. But do you do it during the game? And it's like
yes.
He only completed 13 passes, but he's over 20 yards per completion. Like he's making chunk plays. He's making really good throws. Like there's been a few that were questionable. We're talking 3 throws out of 150. The dude's thrown for over 1,000 yards. Like,
and the first 29 minutes of the Cincinnati game, it wasn't pretty.
No.
And it did not look good. We would be maybe talking trending down potentially if that was a whole 60 minutes. But no, I thought Slovis, and those are the moments you want to see though, because typically in the past, when he'd have struggles early on in a game, he'd just fold like a tent and it would be over and he'd have a multi-pick game and it would just get out of whack for him. This still is stat line, 13 of 24, 223, 2 touchdowns, 0 INTs. You'd like that completion rate a little bit better clip.
Yeah, but there was
still
few dropped passes in there too. So there was a swing pass that should have been caught. You know, if he completes 3 more passes, 16 of 24, it's not bad.
I like what Slovis is bringing for BYU. What's your trending down for the Cougs?
Trending down for me, and I'm getting sick of this. So this is a mini rant here from Matt Biamonte. Can we stop getting conservative in the fourth quarter with leads? We've seen it in the last 2 wins where these games are way closer than they need to be. It's getting ridiculous. It happened at the end of Arkansas where you just go way backwards and then you make a field goal that should have been 40 yards, 51, and Will Ferrell misses it. And then it opened the door for the Razorbacks. And then again, it wasn't that close. You're up 15. I get it. But like, for everything we just said about Keaton Slovis, isn't this what you work for as a coach, to have a fifth-year quarterback that you trust? Like, let this dude throw the football once. Like, I just believe that he would make the right decisions and that he would either get you a nail-in-the-coffin touchdown or you have a reasonable field goal because Will Farron has shown 40 yards and in, he can be trustworthy, right?
Yep.
And you kick a field goal, let's say everything unfolds the same against the Bearcats, but you get the field goal. Don't you feel a little differently about 38-27 than 35-27? Sure. I just feel like these things matter. Beating Arkansas by double digits, beating Cincinnati by double digits, there's a little extra confidence, a little more swag in your step when you're soundly beating people. So I just don't like this conservative nature at the end of these games where it just feels like they're, we don't want to turn the ball over, we don't want to do anything crazy. Like you can still, we've seen a myriad of plays. Like what about the pick play to Rex where Keanu comes in, Rex goes to the sideline, that's like a guaranteed 5 yards. That's safe and that moves the ball forward. We got to stop being so conservative that we're opening the door at the end of games for opponents.
Don't let a game that you had decisively in hand get to the hands team.
Yep.
Don't let it get to a point where Chase Roberts needs to come up with the play on the hands team.
Absolutely.
Don't let that happen. I think it's a good point. My trending down is time of possession. And I know time of possession, sometimes an inflated stat where, again, BYU didn't win the time of possession, but they won the game. But I think still there were some tendencies with the defense that looked a little bit like last year where you're like, can you get off the field? They gave up a 17-play drive to Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a ton of plays, 84 to BYU's 53. Even Kalani pointed it out in the postgame that needs to get fixed. Their time of possession, 35 minutes for Cincinnati, 25 minutes for BYU. They're below 100th nationally in time of possession. You just like to see Keenan Slovis get a few more opportunities. And that's what's impressive, too, is they got 35 total points despite only having the ball for 25 minutes.
Yeah, well, on that note, Mitch, I think we learned something after the Cincinnati game, and it was sort of referenced today with Kalani. Here's Kalani Sitake talking about the run game.
I don't think we're the type of team that can just go and impose our will on people and try to run the ball against a team that's going to load the box, but there's different ways to execute and get points on the board and get first downs, and that's the goal for us on offense.
And we learned that against Cincinnati. This is not a good running team. So this 50-50 thing that BYU is like to have done in the past, put it in the garbage can. Like 70-30. This is a much better passing team. You saw it in that second quarter when they had no choice with 36 seconds. And I thought this was a sneaky good decision by Kalani and A-Rod because they could have easily said, this half is a disaster. Let's take a knee and go to the locker room and regroup. They got aggressive. They went no huddle. It changed the game. That, to me, is the blueprint going forward. Go no huddle a lot. You don't have to do it all game long, but pick up the pace and throw the rock because that's what this team is good.
Cougar Nation is brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning, bluebarnwealth.com. Taking more of your phone calls, 801-575-8255. Taking our final timeout, we'll get a look at what's ahead for the bye week and then maybe an early look at the TCU game as well. It's Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation.
Touchdown, Cougars take the lead.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, welcome back in every single Monday night, 6 to 7 here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. We're on YouTube, the KSL Sports app. Appreciate Trevor Allen manning the stream for us every single week here, 6 to 7. So Cougar Nation can interact with us and also subscribe to the podcast as well. It's brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, enjoy your conference weekend. Matt, get a little bit of a refresher. Get recharged as BYU
there
now heads into the bye week.
There is no such thing as getting refreshed or recharged with kids under 3 years old.
That's fair.
It does not exist.
That's fair. That's true. That's a good point.
I did have a delicious cinnamon roll. I mean, the egg casserole cinnamon roll combination of conference weekend is... It's not Thanksgiving level, obviously, but it is slowly working its way up. I really look forward to that.
BYU 4-1, 1-1 in Big 12 play. They're taking a bye this week, and then they got TCU on October 14th. We asked the listeners out there who do they think the best players are for BYU through 5 weeks. What say you, Matt? Who do you think is the best player?
Offensively, I do feel like it's Keaton Slovis. Yep. I just feel like he has far exceeded anyone's expectations. Because I remember, we already talked about this, but it's worth bringing up. When he signed in the fall, we were wondering, this dude's stats are getting worse every year. Freshman year until his last year at Pitt, decrease in completion percentage every year. Yardage going down, more interceptions. You look at that trend, and you know who came to mind? Is Utah's quarterback for a couple games back in 2021, Charlie Brewer. He had a similar path at Baylor where it was like shot out of the cannon, and then every year worse and worse and worse. Then Whittingham gives him the start. He serves up a BYU win that ends the streak. Like, that's what it sort of felt like. But then in spring football, that's when it all changed for me. When you saw, like, there was one play I'll never forget. I wonder if you remember this. Spring football, Slovis takes off, runs for a touchdown, whatever. It's spring, no one's going to tackle him. Like, it's probably not fair to do that when you're wearing the green jersey. Go for a scramble. The entire offense comes over celebrating with him. It just was like, okay, they really like this guy. Like, this dude is becoming a BYU guy. That's when I started to reframe my expectations for him. And even then, I feel like he's exceeded them. They do not beat Arkansas. They do not beat Cincinnati. And you could even say Sam Houston's a different game without Keaton Slovis. I would say he's been the best player, period, this year.
I agree, because teams in college football, you base it based on a couple things. Schedule and quarterback play.
Yep.
And BYU's schedule to this point has been
lighter.
I wouldn't say light, but it's lighter. It's not as big of a gauntlet. That's why in the preseason we were saying the 5-0 was attainable. That's why we kind of get amused when everyone's like, oh my gosh, are you stunned that BYU's 4-1? We were saying 5-0. We were saying that this team could have been 5-0 out of the gates. The schedule wasn't a gauntlet.
No.
But October, I will say, three of the next four on the road.
Not as hard as it once looked, though.
But we're going to learn a lot about this BYU team, and I think that they're the legacy members in the Big 12, and that's going to be the challenge. No newcomer has beat one of the legacy members yet. Let's see if BYU can do it in a couple weeks. My best player for offense, definitely Keaton Slovis. Defensively, I think Tyler Batty has been the best.
Oh.
Because I think, and I know that comes off, I'm talking with Batty every single week on Cougar Tracks, so full disclosure there. But I think that he has the defensive line, him and Banya have done a great job of setting the edge. Blake Mangelson, I just think Batty's playing great football. Every snap, he's winning his one-on-ones. And I just think that he's playing excellent up front to where it's allowing these linebackers to make plays like you saw on Friday night against Cincinnati. So I'd say Batty. I mean, the stats have been, I don't look at it so much with that. I mean, that one week he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week.
Arkansas.
But I just love what he's doing up front as a tone setter to kind of create everything else that's happening with this. And even Kalani Sitake said he's so versatile. They can do so many different things with him in Jay Hill's scheme.
Last chance, Cougar Nation, to chime in on the best players of the season so far or any thoughts on the game against Cincinnati, 801-575-8255. I'm going to go with, I got a tweet earlier today when we put out the question, and if you don't already on X, follow us, Mitch_Harper, Biamonte, Matt, the Lundberg, that's the account, said Max Tooley. And at first I thought, okay, is that recency bias because he had 16 tackles against Cincinnati? But you look at his stats for the year, I think I might have to agree. Leads the team in tackles, 38. He's got a sack. He's got an interception, got a pass breakup. Like, this is a versatile dude. He can cover in space. He can get after the quarterback. And I think his tackling has improved this year. He's a more sure tackler. That sounds like bad English, but that's what came to my mind. Tooley's been great. I think Tyler Batty's got a case. Jacob Robinson's got a case. That's what's so great about this defense. Last year, if we asked this question, does anyone have a case?
There would have been no one.
There's
no stars emerging.
No.
I even told Tyler in a podcast, I said, it's nice to break down individual plays where you and the defensive line are making plays.
Right.
Last year, they're just taking up blockers.
Yep.
It was just much ado about nothing, and it's just there was no belief in the system. It's great to see that stars have emerged, and the biggest star probably is Jay Hill. I mean, he's doing with the safeties, no matter who's in there, they're still getting production, and that's been – this staff has done a great job, and I'm still buying in with what they can do the rest of the way. Speaking of the rest of the way, the schedule. Seven games left, five games down. This is a bye week.
That makes me sad to hear.
It's flying by, Matt. Quick snapshot, quick predictions. We were bold in our first five games. We thought 5-0, they came one game short of that. The next seven games, this is how it lays out. At TCU, 1:30 kick here on KSL News Radio. Texas Tech at home, October 21st. Texas, number three Texas, October 28th, November 4th at West Virginia, November 11th home against Iowa State, November 18th home against Oklahoma, is number 12 in the country, and then November 25th against Oklahoma State. What do you think BYU's record could be in those final seven?
Wow, that is a loaded question. I will say I want to buy in. I want to put all my chips in. There's just too many little things that are.
What's all buying in? Are you saying 7-0, man? Are you going to get crazy here?
No, buying in would be 6-1, which like.
Ooh, 6-1? You think that's attainable here?
No.
With two games against Oklahoma and Texas?
I don't think it's attainable, and that's not what I'm predicting. I'm just saying that's not out of the realm of possibility. Because that would assume you lose to Texas, you win your home games, and can you steal two road games? That's not crazy. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the rest of the way they're going 4-3 and they'll finish 8-4. And that's a great year. That's a great year.
That'd be outstanding in year one of the Big 12.
I'm thinking Iowa State and Oklahoma State, you're gonna win. I'm feeling like Texas Tech, if you lose that game, how is that possible?
Really?
I mean, their season has fallen apart. Their starting quarterback broke his leg, for heaven's sake.
They still put up 42 this past weekend against Chuck or with Baron Mortons.
Against who?
Houston.
Okay. Houston's maybe the worst team in the Big 12.
That's fair.
Okay. So when you break it down this way, it's like, can you steal one game that you're not supposed to win? And that, to me, is either West Virginia or TCU. Can you win your home games? And look, Oklahoma's going to be insanely hard. I totally get it, but it is senior night, and they're going to be jacked. Look, BYU plays well against name brands, so
they do.
I'll say 4-3.
I'll say 3-4.
Okay.
I think the only game to me that I think BYU will be a favorite is Iowa State. I think every other game they will be an underdog.
You think they'll be an underdog to Tech?
I do, because Tech, I feel like skill talent wise, they go blow for blow with BYU. And I think they're quicker on the line of scrimmage. They got better athletes. BYU's got more size, I think. But they've also got the ability to put up big numbers offensively. Like, they could put up they're capable of putting up a 700-yard day. I don't know if BYU can do that. Whereas Texas Tech has shown that in the past and with some of this personnel. I think that they get to 7-5. And the thing is, what I hope, though, they get to 8. Because I do feel like the Big 12 is not as good as I thought they'd be this year. Because I think that from about team 7 to 14, it's a melting pot of like 6-7 win teams at best. And BYU's got a real shot with how weak the bottom of the Big 12 is. Maybe they could be in the top 5 of the league this year in year 1. That might sound crazy, but it could be attainable. If you can win those games at home, Texas Tech and Iowa State, you take care of business against Oklahoma State. Then it comes down to West Virginia, Texas, and Oklahoma. It's just going to be fun. I love the week-in, week-out grind, the competition, and how it's just toss-up football. I love it. I think that's great for fans. It's great for this show. It's great for us because this is what BYU has been wanting. We're now going to see the grind of the Big 12 schedule coming out of the break. And I love that they got a bye this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfect setup. It's really the best spot they could have had. And then they get load up for a 7-week gauntlet in the Big 12.
I like that TCU has a game this Saturday so that maybe they'll win and not be as hungry to get back into the win against on October 14th. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. So for Mitch Harper, our producer Nate Slack, also on the stream, Trevor Allen, Matt Biamonte. Thanks for the calls, Cougar Nation. We'll see you next Monday.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.